Thanks for choosing to listen to the sermon from Pastor Kim Beckman and Evanston's Emmanuel Lutheran Church. This sermon is from Sunday, May 31st, 2020. At Emmanuel Lutheran Church, we welcome people of every age and size, color and culture, every sexual orientation and gender identity, socioeconomic status, every ability and challenge. We welcome believers and questioners and questioning believers. In this time of social isolation, you can join our online Zoom services every Sunday morning from your computer or your smart device at 10:30 a.m. Find the link to our service at emmanuelevanston.org/events. And now here's this week's sermon from our interim pastor, Kim Beckman.
Grace to you and peace from God and from our risen Savior, Jesus the Christ, who pours his Spirit out on us and calls us to life today. Amen. A few Pentecosts ago at Ashburn Lutheran Church and School, we celebrated the first communions of three young African-American men. It was a joy to see Ramon, Ryan, and Kyan's yearning toward this experience of God's life coming toward them, coming near. It was a day of dreams and visions as they approached this first taste of salvation, Jesus' crucified and risen body becoming the fuel of their own cells, their first taste of the enlivening wine making our veins pulse with Jesus' own blood. In his Pentecost faith testimony, Ramon shared that he wanted to protect Jesus and to be a loyal disciple with his own life. Kyan proclaimed thanksgiving to God for that life and for the world. Ryan's testimony was to the way that God had uplifted his people and given them confidence in themselves. These young men were ready and eager to take their part and their place in the whole great circle that the Spirit's work in the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, and the resurrection of the body makes very real for our world and for its future. Afterward, I asked them about their experience, and Ramon burst out, "Jesus came to me like fire in the belly." How does our experience of Jesus Pentecost stir you, enliven you, kindle fire in your belly as we literally enter this story today and as we make some noise together this year? The fire of life calling to each of us, but also calling us together as a community, young and old, all people together, into a new day and a new reality. I have puzzled as a homiletician for years about just what drives the power of the sermon that Peter gives next. A sermon that at the very moment when they were what they were experiencing could have just been laughed off as too much wine in the belly. And instead, it birthed what would become the Christian church. It must have been powerful, the way the Gettysburg Address changed the course of a country, the way Martin Luther King Jr.'s I Have a Dream speech mobilized action for justice. The sermon that Peter preaches, using scripture we heard from Joel about God's day of transformation, segues into the Psalms that foretell suffering and God sending into that suffering a just king and an exalted savior that will never abandon us to despair and will raise us up with him to hope. Peter tells the story that we've summarized here as a sermon about Jesus, crucified by sin and evil and raised by God to life in a compelling, life-changing way for his first hearers. By the end of it, we will hear that they were cut to the heart, that they were motivated to ask and to cry out, what is it that they can do to enter this life that really is life too? And at that, God drenches 3,000 of them with the power of the Holy Spirit and sends them out. Whereupon they start living a life that dwells in the Word together, that contributes possessions for the common good of all, opens homes, and celebrates with glad hearts the meal of Jesus' life to fuel them with joy and with a gift for the world. Awe comes on everyone they encounter because of the amazing things that God does with them. It is so attractive that day by day, more and more come on board, and together they share the wholeness that God desires for us and all the world. But I have never tackled Peter's sermon myself because I couldn't get it. My commentary reading and my seminary training has always reminded me that this was a sermon for an initially Jewish community that became the church where I was the Gentile other, and also that passages like this have been used to promote anti-Semitism among Christians. I could never make the contemporary leap. Peter's galvanizing point was that God had promised life. God had promised a coming reign of justice. God had promised that restoration and a transformed closeness to the beating heart of God was on its way and coming near. But Peter, who had also betrayed Jesus and run away at his arrest, looks earnestly now at his fellow people of God and tells them that this reign had come in Jesus of Nazareth. And what happened? You crucified Jesus, Peter goes so far as to tell them. You handed him over to the religious authorities for a state-sanctioned execution that everyone was complicit in and everyone washed their hands of. And I have never been able to see what being asked to gaze on this crucified Jesus would do for us until this year. This year, I hear this message with a heart broken by the incalculable loss of life and livelihood in this pandemic. I find myself incredibly moved by the spirit-filled and the creative and the life-giving ways that people have risen up in this moment to care for others, to support businesses known to them, and to preserve life. To make noise, as someone said in our Bible study this week, in so many ways, including the opening of windows and the banging on pots or cooking meals to give thanks for our medical care workers. This year, my heart is cracked wide open by painful realizations of ways that years of systemic injustice and oppression and economic inequities have disproportionately exposed Latino and African American community members to the worst of both the economic devastation and, as essential workers, to the death of COVID-19. And I am asking, what then shall we do? This week, I am cut to the heart to witness the breath of life extinguished in George Floyd, and to say the names of Breonna Taylor and Ahmaud Arbery and so many other African-American children of God who have gone before them. Convicting me as a person possessing white privilege of the many everyday activities that are risk-free for me, but routinely put the lives of my African-American siblings in jeopardy. And I am asking, what then shall I do? When not the fires of justice that Jesus came to ignite within us, but the fires of injustice are burning. And when first African-American bishop in the synod, Sherman Hicks, writes on my Facebook page that crying out with him isn't enough, and that I need to go get my cousins and do something and make some noise. And what next step will I take to confront the systemic racism, which I too am infected with in a death-dealing way? And what next step will Emmanuel Lutheran Church take to be explicitly and loudly anti-racist and partner in that movement to turn to God and live? I am moved this day by former President Barack Obama's words of challenge and hope. It is natural, he said, to wish for life to just get back to normal. As a pandemic and an economic crisis upend everything around us. But we have to remember that for millions of Americans, being treated differently on account of race is tragically, painfully, maddeningly normal. Whether it's while dealing with the healthcare system or interacting with the criminal justice system or jogging down the street or just watching birds in a park. This shouldn't be normal in 2020 in America. It can't be normal. If we want our children to grow up in a nation that lives up to its highest ideals, we can and we must be better. It will fall mainly, he notes, on the officials of Minnesota to ensure that the circumstances surrounding George Floyd's death are investigated thoroughly and that justice is ultimately done. But it falls on us, regardless of our race or station, including the majority of men and women in law enforcement who take pride in doing their tough job in the right way every day, to work together to create a new normal in which the legacy of bigotry and unequal treatment no longer infects our institutions or our hearts. For the first time at this later stage in my life, I get how being cut to the heart and being confronted by sin and evil in the face of Jesus brought life to those first hearers and inspired them and birthed the church in the wake of tumultuous events. I get what Ramon and Kyan and Ryan tried to teach me. It's because it doesn't end there. It's because God acts and sends us power today. God raised and God exalted Jesus, the crucified Jesus, to life so that we might live. God still desires life for the world, and today God calls all of us into the Pentecost project that God has to make some noise, a project of dreaming and visioning a transformed normal. As the world comes to life, as we step outside our doors again, the Spirit unleashes us, super spreaders now of a message of life that is there for us when our cut open hearts are filled with God's Spirit. In a very weird Greek grammatical turn, the same one that can be translated in John's story of Jesus' birth, that we have beheld for ourselves God's glory in Jesus, Peter's sermon will invite us to change our lives, to turn to God, and we will receive for ourselves the gift of the Spirit of grace and mercy and truth and life. Not grabbing it for ourselves, But in our yearning and our prayer and in God's mercy and grace for us, together with all peoples and all languages receiving this gift of incalculable life. We have this amazing joy today in an affirmation of baptism that re-drenches us with cleansing, renewing, life-giving waters. We receive today the Spirit's grace to turn to God and live. We receive the power to spit in the eye of sin and evil and renounce all that would turn us away from this life that God intends for all. A chance to rekindle joy in the Word and in our life together, recommit to serving others in Jesus' Spirit, and work with our neighbors for true justice and peace in this world God loves. We experience today the blessing of Jesus' life-giving body and blood, given and shed for us for the forgiveness of sins. And we too come away from this 50th day of Easter's life with Jesus' own fire in our bellies. So then, Peter concluded,
God has raised this Jesus, crucified to life, and we are all witnesses of it. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit, and has poured out what you now see and hear.
Thanks for listening to the sermon from Pastor Kim Beckman and Evanston's Emmanuel Lutheran Church. And again, we welcome you to join our weekly online services each Sunday at 10:30 a.m. Go to emmanuelevanston.org/events. And thanks for listening.